Welcome to the Independence Day edition of The Answer of the Week, where my friend Joe Patrick and I, my very good friend Joe Patrick, who would never say anything disparaging about me while I'm gone.
Yeah, never.
Talk about your answers to the question of the week. But before we do that, Joe Patrick has to tell us what the hell that question was. Joe, what did we ask these nerds?
This week's question was, what was your favorite toy line as a child? And from that toy line, what was your favorite toy?
And obviously, as a child, because adults are not into toys.
I guess you could answer that question, but...
It's Yu-Gi-Oh!
It's more fun this way.
Currently, I think it's probably Yu-Gi-Oh!
Excuse me, Matt. Yu-Gi-Oh! Is no toy.
Are we starting with the Facebooks or the Twitters?
Let's start with the Tweeters.
All right, you're in charge. Take us away.
Our first Twitter comes from our friend and attorney, Ryan Forrest, who says, G.I. Joe and Snake Eyes.
He's technically the THN consigliere.
Yeah. No reason to stray too far on this one. It's a classic answer.
Straight
I support
up.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. Although... Firefly was my favorite G.I. Joe guy.
Just hold on, man.
All right.
We're going to get to our... Okay. We're going to have our own turn.
Yeah, but G.I. Joe is not my main choice.
Well, then.
I'm just saying. Firefly. He was my dude. His job was saboteur.
I guess you're too good for G.I. Joe.
This guy just sabotages crap for a living?
Whatever.
That is awesome.
Andrew Merzak writes in saying, the Secret Wars toy line. Black costume Spider-Man. Anyone who says different is probably a racist.
I really like that answer.
I love the super. I love the Secret Wars line.
Secret Wars figures
inexplicably packaged. Oh. Inexplicably packaged with a lenticular shield that reveals their secret identity.
Yeah, it was Secret Wars. I mean, come on, that's what happened, right?
It's like, hold on, Captain America, it's me, Spider Man. Look at my shield.
Yeah,
I'm Peter Parker.
And like Kang is like, wait a minute.
Oh,
actually, yeah, Kang. I remember I had Kang. He was my favorite figure, but I can't remember what his shield looks because he doesn't have an alternate ego.
I mean, well, maybe
unless they were smart enough to make it turn to a mortis. Oh man, I don't remember that.
Maybe the shields did other things other than secret identities. Maybe I'm a dummy.
Could be.
The only Secret Wars figure I ever had came from a thrift shop. It was Magneto.
Who are you, Poe?
No, we like to go to thrift shops every once in a while when I was young.
That's disgusting.
And I would just get something that looked cool.
Used toys? Gross.
Well, this Magneto was so worn out that the leg kept popping off and he didn't have a shield or a cape.
And you don't know what dirty little kid's butt that was up, so hope you washed it first.
Listen, the South Omaha Goodwill would never sell me somebody's dirty butt Magneto.
Oh, I'm sure.
The real Keith Binder... Not to be confused with the actual Keith Binder.
No, this is the real Keith Binder.
Tweets in to say, my favorite toy line was playing outside. My favorite toy from that line was Y-shaped stick. Hashtag imagination. Hashtag mommy's alone time.
So he was dowsing, right? It's like the dowsing rod.
The dowsing rod. Yeah,
looking
dowsing
for water rod. Outside.
Tom Clare writes in saying...
Welcome aboard, Tom?
Is Tom Clare... Who's Tom Clare?
I don't know. You tell me. You're in charge of this crap. I don't pay attention to these monkeys.
The name just sounds familiar. Welcome aboard, Tom. His favorite toy line was the Super Powers action figures, the DC equivalent to the Secret Wars action
figures. Loved those, too.
I have sons, so they're still being played with. I usually find them in beds or the bath.
I think I said this before, but I shoplifted the Parademon.
You were a real jerk. Tom also says, I only had two problems with the superpower figures, rubbish villains, and only one girl. Where were Black Canary and Zatanna from my comics?
I don't know, pervert. Sorry.
He also says, I tried ringing in on Skype but couldn't get through. Has anyone from outside the U.S. managed it? I don't think we've ever had an international caller.
Is Tom international?
No. We did have one international caller.
Who was that?
It was Chris the British guy.
Oh, yes. Chris the British guy did call us. And he ended with cheerio.
Yes.
It was adorable.
And so it does work. It's not just you. It's like Skype only picks up. The voicemail only picks up for every like fifth call.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Keep trying. Please don't quit.
We would appreciate it.
Yeah, Tom. We'd love to hear from you. Sorry. And where's Tom from? He didn't say.
Well, he used the term rubbish as an adjective. So I imagine he's from England.
Or Papua New Guinea.
Or Papua New Guinea.
Pardon me, Papua New Guinea.
Papua.
I don't want to upset our listeners in Papua New Guinea.
Excuse me, I'm trying to weed out all of the actual tweets from the ones from Camarillo Brillo that are just about how his day's going.
They're hashtagging their tweets, right? You guys should be hashtagging your tweets.
How about THN answer?
That's too many.
It's not too many.
THN AOW.
There you go. THN AOW.
THN AOW is the official hashtag of the answer of the week. If you don't do it, Joe Patrick can't find your damn tweets.
There's just too many tweets. I'm sorry. There are too many tweets. Camarillo Brillo, I love you, buddy. But geez. I can't find nothing.
He's excitable.
He is. I do appreciate that New Mutant and J.M. DeMatteis wrote in to tell us how to pronounce his name.
That was sweet of him. Yeah, I was discussing that. I knew I was wrong.
In your face.
But thank you for that, J.M. DeMatteis. Oh, I really appreciate it.
That's it on the Twitters. Moving over to Facebook. Chris Duffy, PhD, says, if everyone's answer isn't Transformers
Dr.
and...
Dr. Duff. Let's call him Dr. Duff.
Dr. Duff. If everyone's answer isn't Transformers and Grimlock, respectively, then I'll lose faith in humanity.
It's a good answer.
It's a good answer, but good answer. Listen, we're not here to cast judgment.
What is Dr. Duff a doctor of? Do we know?
I don't know.
Let's call him a butt doctor.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would you want to call him a butt doctor?
Somebody's got to be a butt doctor. Chief of butthole medicine and stuff like that, you know? It's important. It's important.
Chris.
I have some questions I'd like to ask you later, Dr.
Chris,
Duffy.
I want you to know right now that if you do not write in and actually tell us what you're a doctor of, if you are in fact a doctor.
We're just going to start calling you Dr. Butt.
Matt will not stop calling you the doctor of butthole.
The chief. Hey, that's important.
The chief of butthole medicine.
The chief of butthole medicine. The THN chief of butthole medicine.
I have a friend who has some symptoms I'd like to discuss with you.
Hey, you know what? Being chief is not an easy job.
No, man. You got to work your way up.
All right. This is going to be the most ridiculous
start
answer
like
of the week.
A butthole nurse or whatever they're called.
Lisa Casey. Welcome aboard, Lisa.
Female listeners. I love it.
Lisa's answer is the transforming Digimon toys.
Lisa's obviously younger than you and I.
Yeah.
Possibly young enough to be my daughter. So I recant on all of that.
She says, listen, I don't understand any of these words. She loves her Pakumon, Angimon.
These are Digimon monsters.
Lisa, I appreciate your answer.
I'm sorry.
I don't understand your answer.
Lisa, I'm sorry your parents couldn't afford Pokemon. I'm just kidding. Digimon were like actual toys.
Lisa is from Ireland.
Hey, an Irish babe.
I'm not going to pretend that I didn't just go to your Facebook page.
That's fun. Maybe she didn't want anybody to know.
John, let's move on before this gets worse.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with Digimon, for the record. It's just,
it's beyond
our time.
Yes.
It's after our time.
That's totally right. John Zimmerman says, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
Right on.
It had everything. Strapping young men in fur speedos, snake people, action figures with scent.
Yeah.
And a
Stinkor.
Yeah. And a dude. He smelled like patchouli.
Yeah.
And a dude named Fisto.
Yeah, he didn't smell bad. He smelled like something you wave around after you smoke weed. Like, oh, crap, here comes mom. Give me Stinkor.
Best of all was the slime pit. The slime pit had a claw that would hold a figure in place and a bone skull that you poured slime into.
Ah, and in the commercial, they show them sliming Moss Man. Now, when you slime Moss Man, you're never getting that crap off. You may notice Moss Man had the female Velcro side, you know?
Yeah, like, he was covered in felt.
Yeah. Well, guess what? You get the slime on him, ruined.
Yep.
Destroyed my Moss Man.
You could then lower the jaw on the skull, and the noxious slime would drip down and ooze all over your figure. In storylines I created, the pit was sometimes used as a torture device, sometimes used as a means of imbuing a villain with power, somehow derived from the slime, and sometimes an altar on which figures would be sacrificed to bring Hordak or some other Dark Lord over to this side.
That's intense.
Yeah, I had a very vivid and dark imagination.
I just used it to murder my Moss Man. That's all. And then I was so pissed, I don't think I ever used it again.
That's a good answer. Andy Peters writes in saying the T-Rex or Trex from Robo's Trucks was the coolest one in my toy bin. I've never heard of that.
What was it? Robostrux?
Robostrux.
Okay, I think it was like Legos for smart kids.
Robostrux.
You're thinking of Bionicles.
No. Here we go. 1985 TV commercials. Robostrux.
Robostrux. Now you can construct what may be the ultimate robot monsters.
I totally had this. Robostrux.
Each sold separately. Batteries not included. Then you can unleash the...
They were like robot dinosaurs. Robostrux. And there was, it was a walking T-Rex. And there was a walking pterodactyl. These were so cool. And they were like wind-up toys. You built them, and then you wound them up.
I remember something like that.
Yeah, man, they were so cool. Brutox, Gordox, Terox, and Radox. They were super cool. I had one of those, and I think I broke it in less than 10 minutes. Or like, I was like, this is so cool. Oh, where'd that part go? And it was just gone. You know,
like. Good answer, Andy. Very obscure. I love it. John Boucher writes in saying, I was a tiny drooling baby when Burton's first Batman film came out.
Gross.
Just to point that out, we are old. Yes. That means John was born in 1989.
Yeah, I was 29, I think, when that came out.
Or not 29. Yeah. But when I was a few years older, my friend's older brother was getting rid of all of his little kids' toys, and he hooked me up with the complete 1989 line of Batman movie action figures and vehicles. It was amazing. Apart from the slickest Batmobile ever to appear on the big screen, I agree with that.
It was, yeah.
And a dope little Batwing jet. You may remember that there were three figures in this line. Batman, who had a grappling hook that extended from his belt buckle. The Joker, who came with a pump that attached to his back and allowed you to squirt deadly, deadly water out of his flower.
Out of his crotch.
And, of course, the greatest action figure possibly of all time, Bob, the Joker's goon.
Oh, yeah. And it totally looked like...
It looked like that guy.
Yeah.
Bob came with a creepy little knife, a creepier little beard, and had a power kick action. I don't know how Batman ever managed to overcome such a deadly foe. I don't know what wound up happening to those toys, but I hope Bob is still power kicking out there somewhere.
Oh, I guarantee it.
He was my number one. My guy. I read that in character for you, John.
That was good.
And then he sent a picture of Bob the Goon action figure.
Nice.
It's rad.
Nice. Let's make that the... Let's use Bob the Goon as the image for this episode.
It's so awesome.
It's good.
Andrew Morrison writes in. He says, Star Wars, The Empire Strikes Back, AT-ST Walker.
Yeah, man.
Because my brother got that, and I got the Jabba the Hutt set. It didn't do anything except wag its tail.
Yeah, but it had the weird little like bedroom cage.
Yeah.
That you could like pick a job up and be like, me job or no bother.
Listen, Andrew, I feel
and
your pain.
And you put like Han Solo laying down in there, and it's like, that's where they go to fight the Rancor. Really?
You dig a hole. No, because it doesn't have a hole in the bottom.
Yeah, then you'd have to like destroy the bottom of the toy.
Wade Lyles writes in with, good question. Hard to choose between the 90s Spider-Man, Batman, and Beast Wars. But my favorite would probably be Beast Wars, and the toy of my choosing would be the Megatron Red Dragon toy. My God, was it brutal looking and fun to transform. He always ended up being the last one standing in any action figure battle.
Okay, Beast Wars was the...
I was totally out of Transformers by
the
time.
Yeah, I was too. It was like the CG, like when the Transformers were transforming into animals and stuff.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Totally crazy.
Yeah, once Megatron stopped being a gun, I was out.
Yeah, and I think it was like some attempt to be like, oh, kids shouldn't be playing with guns type thing, you know?
Whatever!
Yeah, screw you.
Jason Manger says, I was lucky enough to grow up during the prime toy years that included G.I. Joe and Transformers.
Right on.
I have to say that Mask was my favorite.
Oh, yeah!
Mobile Armored Strike Command.
Yes, dude!
It combined the best of the Joes and the Transformers. The show was fun and the toys were great. My favorite toy was the Condor. A motorcycle that turned into a helicopter.
Yeah, dude.
It wasn't the biggest or most elaborate of the Mask vehicles, but I took it with me everywhere. The TD Dubs just wrote a whole article about the Condor Mask figure.
Man, I loved Mask toys.
I loved Mask. Like, on paper, Mask is the greatest idea ever.
Yeah, man.
Regular dudes with super-powered outfits that drive transforming cars. It's everything you want.
Oh, here's your one for the flying, your commercial.
An incredible secret is revealed. When innocent-looking vehicles and ordinary men become an awesome fighting team, it's the secret of Mask, where illusion is
that
the
theme song.
Piranha's getting away with a laser blueprint.
Stop him!
Stop him!
Mask vehicles in place and each sold separately
Mask
with action figures.
And they did, like, Toymation on the actual figures. Like, the actual figures that had no, you know, movement whatsoever. You move their arms and legs. So the Toymation was like, both their arms rise up. And I remember as a kid just being like, holy crap! That is so cool!
Oh, man. I loved Mask. I loved the Mask cartoon, even though I didn't really have any Mask toys. But that shit does not hold up.
Oh, no, it was terrible.
I watched the first couple episodes of Mask as an adult some years ago, and they are boring as hell.
First of all, when you start a corporation, you've got to get people to back you, you know, right? And if you're going to be a bad guy, like Venom, for example, you know.
Like, you mean the villainous evil network of mayhem?
Yeah. You're like, when you come to like your to the people that are going to give you money to start your company, and you're like, okay, check it out. We're the villainous evil network of mayhem. And like, okay.
So dumb.
Hold on, guys.
So dumb.
Maybe we should think about that name.
Great answer, Jason. Jamie Hancock writes in saying, I was quite spoiled for choice as a kid. I was tempted to say Micronauts. The way you could switch the parts around to make new toys was really cool.
They were very cool.
Or Action Man, which was a British G.I. Joe that had all sorts of cool outfits. But I think if I'm being truthful, I'd have to be a little predictable and say that the original line of Star Wars toys, even as a kid, I sometimes think that choosing to make figures from minor blink and you'll miss them characters was a bit strange. But in retrospect, I think that made me feel more like using them as characters in my own improvised stories.
Right on.
My favorite toys from the line were the mini rigs, which were small vehicles created from scratch by the toy company to make affordable alternatives to the X-Wings, TIE Fighters, and so on.
They were taking care of the poor kids.
Firstly, I just think it's a nice idea to give the poor kids something to fly Snaggletooth around in.
Yeah.
And second, they were just awesome little toys, particularly the one that looked like a mini AT-ST with sucker pods
on its
feet.
I remember that.
And a spring-loaded claw on the back for improvising your favorite figure's enemies. For imprisoning your favorite figure's enemies. He sent a picture. I've never seen anything like that, but I think it's pretty awesome.
Remember this? I had this. It was like a brown coffin with guns on the side. It was a Star Wars mini rig. And I just found it on YouTube. I was looking for like a commercial. And it says, Star Wars mini rig ... thingy.
Yeah. The one
Polly Poo Poo put that one up, by the way.
The one Jamie had was the Cap 2 Captivator. Great answer, Jamie. That is a weird, obscure one as well.
I love it.
John Bunger, our buddy, writes in saying Muscle.
Yeah, man.
Millions of unusual small creatures lurking everywhere.
Yes. Did you just whip that or did he write that?
I whipped that out of my brain.
Excellent, man. I loved Muscle.
John does not elaborate. I never had Muscle as a kid.
Oh, I had a ton of them. They came in trash cans.
Yeah.
They came in little plastic clear trash cans, and you would kind of look at them to see, try to see what's in there, and there were so many of them. I loved them. Oh, my God.
Muscle invasion update. Scientists discover muscle things have come to wrestle. America's only hope, the battle and belt, and the rest.
All right. We're done with this. That sounded terrible. I'll skip that. But yeah, and my favorite thing about them, they were wrestlers. Like they came from space to wrestle.
Yeah, that's all they wanted to do was wrestle.
Yeah, that's how you do it in space.
Gregory Litchfield writes, I was 8 years old when Major Matt Mason, Mattel's Man in Space action figures and toy line was released in 1966.
What?
Greg, you are old.
Wow, he's older than we are.
You might be our oldest listener.
Greg's almost dead.
Greg. We value your listenership.
Yes, and I'm sure you are a young and spry 75-year-old.
We are really happy to have you. We are only teasing.
I can't do the math.
He's younger than my mother. Calm down. My favorite accessory was the space crawler. This two-legged vehicle had two wheels that were actually four opposable legs, which enabled the battery-operated vehicle to climb over any terrain.
I vaguely recall maybe seeing these in like... when we worked at the old shop.
Yeah.
We used to do toys. I vaguely recall one of them.
Major Matt Mason?
No, the space crawler, specifically.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, it's part of that line. The seat held one astronaut and had a winch at the rear of the vehicle that was also battery powered. Yeah, man, that looks super sweet.
Oh, it's really cool. I just looked it up. It's very cool.
Yeah, he sent a picture. Yeah, I love that they sent, some of them sent pictures.
That's cool.
Yeah, man, I'd have freaked out if I had that as a kid.
You're more likely to get on the air if you send us pictures, by the way.
That's not true. Everyone gets on the air.
Shut up. We're going to make it sound. No, what are you talking about? We got 5,000 responses, dude. We can't read them all.
Aaron Myers, the King of Ask a Nerd, and THN Love Slave number one. Eat it, Keith Silva.
Sorry, Silva.
Says, for me, it has to be Voltron, and I don't care what all you jerks think. It's a modern world, and I can admit that the Pink Lion was my favorite.
Hey, he's comfortable with who he is.
Listen, Aaron, even gay dudes can have a wife and kids.
Yeah, that's cool. There's no big deal. Plenty of married dudes that are totally gay. Don't worry about it, man.
We love you, Aaron. Bob Osland also loves the Secret Wars figures, saying, I still have my Wolvie with both detachable claws.
Cool.
That is a feat.
Oh, that's right. They clipped onto the wrist.
Yeah, they just clipped onto his wrist. Randy Andrews says, I would definitely have to say Star Wars from Kenner. I loved that toy line. I know it's weird, but C-3PO has got to be my favorite, along with the Hoth Han Solo.
Well, C-3PO is shiny and cool looking. You know, I mean.
He does end with the exclamation that I will have to shout, as is tradition. Best toy line ever! Ever! Thanks, Randy.
If you write in all caps,
we have
to yell it.
Yeah. John Mitchell says, this is a hard one for me. I was a spoiled little bastard and had different toy lines that I would play with.
I remember because I grew up next to John Mitchell.
And then move on to a different one after a while. So my biggest toy lines were G.I. Joe, Transformers, Star Wars, and Masters of the Universe. Of these toy lines, my favorites were always the play sets. So here's my list of favorite play sets. For G.I. Joe, it was the Cobra Terror Drome.
If he doesn't say Snake Mountain for He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, he is a liar.
Well, okay. For Star Wars, the Death Star playset. For Transformers, the Constructicons, which is not a playset, but still cool as
but
hell.
But still awesome.
They form Devastator.
Yeah, man.
Historically, the most powerful of all the Transformers.
Yes.
Which doesn't make sense.
Oh, you know.
Because some of the Transformers transform into cities.
Well, they're not very powerful cities, I guess. Omega Supreme, I believe, is a city, right?
Metroplex. Omega Supreme was like a weird like train track thing with
something
a rocket.
Like that. Oh, yeah. He fit around the city.
Yeah.
He went around Metroplex.
And he says for Masters of the Universe, his favorite playset was Castle Grayskull.
Liar! Snake Mountain had a microphone. We used to mess with that thing all the time, man.
Hey, I don't know
what
to tell
you. It had a microphone with a little like crappy reverb in it. So you'd be like, it was so cool.
Buzzy Brown Brennan writes in with an answer and also to defend his honor from last week.
Just call him Triple B.
Triple B. Star Wars ruled my childhood. My most prized possession was my AT-AT, a.k.a. the AT-AT. It was by far the largest toy I owned, and it had those awesome battery-powered guns on the front. Its skeletal remains still haunt my mom's garage because I could never part ways with it, even after I lost any and all detachable parts. Side note, I just listened to last week's Answer of the Week, and I know that nobody liked Dark Knight Strikes Again. That's why I felt the need to give it a shout-out. I really can't say why I enjoyed it so much, but I did, so there.
Defending his honor.
That's fair enough.
Right on, Triple B.
We're not here to pass judgment, except for when it makes a good joke.
Except for when we pass judgment.
Yeah. And finally, Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Whoa.
Welcome aboard.
Is that three females or one?
Well, it's one.
Okay.
As a female child of the 90s, I would be remiss if I did not mention any and all cheap plastic versions of the Pokemon franchise.
There we go.
Including the Squirtle my little brother put up his nose.
Oh, that's adorable.
Ashley, wonderful. Welcome aboard. Thanks for writing in.
Did your brother get high?
I hate Pokemon.
I don't hate Pokemon. It's a pretty fun game.
We have more of a traumatic connection to Pokemon.
Yeah,
because we worked in a collectible store at the height of its popularity.
Yeah, we lived Pokemon.
So we didn't have a chance to enjoy it. We only had to resent it. Something that I still hold firm to this day.
Little kid with his dad, little black kid and his dad, and his daddy, he comes in and we've got this case full of Pokemon cards, and one of them was Charizard, which is like the big expensive one. And this was at a point where it had dropped a little bit, and it was like $20. And he was like, Dad, that's what I want. Dude looks at it and he goes, $20 for a fucking Pokemon card? You can lick my Pokeball. For $20. And we just stood there in shock, like, oh my god, what just happened? And the kid was so upset. He's like, god,
oh, that's terrible. Why do you have to point out that he was a black kid?
In context, it's like even
that's
funnier.
That's,
you know,
racist.
It's like dad was like just taking no shit.
That's
dad was
racist.
Taking no Pokemon shit.
Like a white guy doesn't equally...
Like, son, that is too expensive. You will have to mow lawns for 6 months or whatever.
That's it on the Facebook. Let's quit before it gets us in any more trouble.
Let's move along to your calls to our Google Voice line. I am so sorry, Tom, that you had trouble with the Skype, but please keep trying. We want to hear from you. Here we go. Oh, this is Sean X. This week, it called him Shines.
Shines.
Hey, nerds. Shines here.
Hey, nerds. Sean X here with my answer to the question of the week. Favorite toy line and favorite toy from that line? I'm getting tired of people talking about, like, Transformers, G.I. Joes, He-Man, Star Wars, you name it. It boggles my mind because you can go to the store and buy those toys today. They might not be the same ones, but you can buy them. There's one toy line that you cannot buy right now, and it is a shame, a travesty, and that is Mask, Mobile, Armored, Strike Command, led by Matt Tracker against the villainous Miles Mayhem and his vicious, evil network of mayhem. But my favorite piece out of the whole set, I had a ton of them. I mean, there was Volcano, Switchblade, Rhino, Condor, Slingshot, Thunderhawk, Outlaw, I mean, Firecracker. But my favorite was Hurricane, which was a 57 Chevy that elevated the six wheels. This turret came out of the windshield. It had a tank swivel top. It had Hondo McClain. He was the baddest. That's it. Hurricane, bar none, everything. And if no one says Mask, I might blow up this place. The Ziggurat, that is.
Well, hey, listen, lots of people said Mask.
Good news. You don't have to blow up the Ziggurat. Lots of votes for Mask. But yeah, I totally
I loved Hondo McClain.
So, you know what? I just wanted to let you know what the Google transcript is for the Mobile Armored Strike Command. Google thinks you said normal Aubert, so I can, man. That's great.
It blew my mind on Mask when dudes would like switch to new vehicles and new powers.
Yeah.
Like Matt Tracker went from driving that flying car to driving that big rig, and he got a different mask that did different stuff. And I was just like, what? What? Hondo McClain had more than one car, too.
Matt Tracker was a versatile guy.
Yeah.
Don't try to pigeonhole him in some flying car.
I might have to go back and try to watch Mask again.
No, it's terrible.
It's not very good,
it's
but man.
It's terrible.
Ah.
Centurions. That's what you should be watching. That was a great show.
Power Extreme.
Moving right along, looks like we've got another one here from New Mutant, so let's all enjoy his interesting cadence together. The guy, he talks like a rapper. I love him.
Joe Patrick and Matt Baum. This is New Mutant. Your question of the week, what's my favorite toy line from childhood?
Well, he talks like a beat poet.
If you were a fan of New Mutants and listened to my prattling in other places, you would know it is the Micronauts forever and ever and ever. Oh, man, I can't even. So my favorite from that line, and there were many, let me tell you, is the Galactic Cruiser. Now, the Galactic Cruiser is a little tripod toy. So it had two big wheels in the back, like big fat tread-looking wheels, but they were plastic, and they're green. And the body of the Galactic Cruiser is green. I'm looking at a picture of it. That's how I can tell you, because I sadly don't have one anymore. And if I had one, trust and believe, when I tell you, I would be holding it in my hand right now. But... and the front wheel is a little singular thing. And on the back, it had these two cannons that they were these little push-button trigger things where they would fire off these rubber-headed plunger-looking missiles. And when Michael Golden drew these things in the comic book series, he had a way of making the projectiles blobby and, like, blunt force... shadows in concussion that just made you know that it was going to be a powerful wallop when it landed wherever it landed, and things blowing up, body banks blowing up, and soldiers just blowing up, and it evoked the original design of the Galactic Cruiser and their fat missiles that they have. My second favorite is the Hydra, which is a blue and white plastic.
All right, I'm cutting him off. That's your favorite. Now your second favorite.
Don't cut him off.
He goes on for all 3 minutes, too.
How much farther could it have been?
It's a short show. He's got like another solid minute. That was great, though.
He sounds like Mike Myers in So I Married an Axe Murderer. Woman!
Whoa, man!
I love him. New Mutant might be my favorite caller. Thank you for that one.
His name is Alan White. I'll never forget it.
Another vote for the Micronauts.
Yeah.
That was a few. We had a couple few of those.
Yeah.
Two or three, I think.
Well, no. One guy said he was going to say the Micronauts, but decided against
it. Oh, that's right. That's right. We'll see what Nathan Bradford has to say.
My answer to the question of the week. What's your favorite toy line from childhood and your favorite toy from that line? Growing up, my favorite toy line definitely was Masters of the Universe. Strangely, never the heroic ones. I always gravitated towards the villains like Skeletor and Hordak. My favorite of the line, though, there was a henchman named Webster.
Yeah,
who Webster.
Was a henchman of Skeletor's that was a freaky-looking human-slash-spider hybrid. And he came with an accessory, which was a backpack, that would allow him to climb up anything that you connected the grappling hook he came with to. Unfortunately, he also had the habit of having that grappling hook get knots that you could never get out. So he would cease yes. being able to climb after playing with him for a good week or so. But I loved that toy so much that I probably got that toy probably a total of 4 or 5 times. So I had 4 backpackless Websters throughout the whole bedroom, and one that would actually still have his backpack intact. But yeah, that was a pretty sad state of affairs because I never had an official allowance. So my dad would always let me and my brother pick out our toy of choice maybe every 2 or 3 weeks, depending on if we were good, behaved ourselves, did all our chores. So my dad was extremely frustrated after about the 3rd or 4th time, I want to get Webster again. So those were my childhood memories. Definitely Masters of the Universe was my toy line of choice. And never the heroes, always the villains.
Totally.
You have a good day.
Webster. I had Webster, too.
I had Webster, and I could never get that shit to work.
Mine
right.
got ruined the same way. He had a little knot and went back in the backpack. Game over.
Yeah. I could never get it to work. Oh, I don't know if I was just too dumb to get it to work.
No, the little brat on the commercial, like they had like some special prototype because everybody else, like this first time you did it, broken.
Yeah. But he still looked cool. I remember even as a small child noticing whenever they reused molds.
Oh, yeah.
For toys.
Well, all their bodies were
like
the same.
All their bodies were the same, yes. But some of them even had the same armor. Like, painted a different color.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
Web Store's armor is the exact same armor as...
Like Fisto, I think?
Mechaneck.
Mechaneck, that's right.
Who was the only other character...
And Stinkor. Stinkor had the same armor, too.
Well,
the thing that covered his face.
Yeah, there were a few characters that actually had hard plastic armor that clam-shelled onto their bodies. Yeah. Mechaneck was one of them.
Stinkor was one, too. Web Store
was one of them. Stinkor may have been one of them. But also, like I think Merman and... No. Skeletor and Faker had the same armor.
Yeah, totally.
That's exactly, yes. Yeah. That's it.
Stinkor had the same thing. I just showed it to him.
And like as a kid, I'm like, what a ripoff. These guys all have the same armor.
They were all from the same planet, though, so maybe they were buying their armor at the same place.
Yeah. Sure.
You know what I mean? Come on. Nobody yells at us when we both have like the same color jeans on or anything.
Oh.
Blue.
Moving right along. Camarillo Brillo calling. I have no idea what he picked. That's, and once again, the Google transcript here. Awful.
Hey guys, it's Camarillo Brillo. Just calling to answer your question about our favorite action figures for the question of the week. There's so many things I wanted to talk to that I metaphorically blacked out every time I tried to decide which thing to talk about. I was a huge fan of action figures of any sort. Most of the ones that I got were either from yard sales or from KB Toys after the product line had pretty much ended.
He's a poor kid.
But
like
we had a pretty wide smattering of them. But I think it would be ridiculous to say my favorite was anything but Star Wars. Now, I completely hate Star Wars. I have no nostalgia for Star Wars whatsoever. But at that time, that's all I thought about and talked about probably for about 22 years of my life. What? In retrospect, it was insane that that toy line even existed because there really wasn't a precedent for how developed it was for those little plastic figures. The roster of figures was pretty deep. They had a power droid figure. They had people that were only on screen for like a second, like that bounty hunter Zuckuss.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, each one of those characters that they made came with completely original weaponry. And it just blew my mind the level of detail Now, when I say level of detail, I don't mean like Todd McFarlane figures level of detail, but the little things they did to make them worth owning. They weren't fully articulated, how do you say that word? And matter of fact, the Bounty Hunter Bosk even had like a permanent kung fu chop.
That's right.
A couple of the figures, I think one of the early Han Solos and the Cloud Patrol guys all had bent elbows, which made them pretty much worthless. But anyway, it was an incredible line of toys, massive play sets. Some were super detailed. Some were just cardboard facades, still equally as fun to play with. They had the giant AT-AT vehicle. They had little vehicles that didn't even exist in the movie just to steal your money, like those little Hoth tank things. I don't know. It was just an amazing line of toys. My favorite thing from that line has to be the giant Rancor monster or the Hoth Wampa, just because the sheer WTF factor of why they would make it. But it was a great line of toys. I don't even feel nostalgic at all. I still own my original first figure that I owned. But beyond that, if I never see another one the rest of my life, I could care less. But for me, that was the sh**. So, thanks, guys. Bye.
The first caller we have to bleep, Camry Labrillo. Congratulations, sir. Yeah,
I think Sean's probably said something terrible.
I don't think we've ever bleeped any of our callers. Sean's a professional. He knows how to keep it clean. He knows what he's doing. Another vote for Star Wars. Moving right along, it looks like this one is from Jared.
Hey, nerd bros. This is Jared, a.k.a. Wooly Toots, and I am calling about your answer of the week.
The Google transcript thinks he said a.k.a. Luli Suits.
And I would have to say that my favorite line of toys growing up as a kid was the 1977 Toho Mattel Shogun Warriors line. Holy crap, if those huge giant plastic robots weren't the coolest thing in the world, plus it had Godzilla. But my favorite piece from that line was the Mighty Rodan. I went bonkers when I got it for Christmas. I even have a photo of me opening it to prove my mind exploding when I ripped it open. And I took Rodan with me everywhere. That thing was like my pet bird. He went with me to my brother's baseball games. He went with me anywhere, man. Everywhere I took that thing. And he was rad. You pulled that little thing on the back of his neck, and he would make his little creak, crack, scrap noise, and his claws went ka-chicken, ka-chank, and could pick up any Star Wars figure or anything. Man. Rodan. Slap in action. I sure wish I still had that son of a bitch.
Still, he just totally stole mine. That's my favorite. Shogun Warriors. Big time. Huge time. And I never had the Rodan. Rodan's actually super hard to find. You get on eBay and try and win a Rodan, you're going to pay for it, man. They're expensive. And I just bought, well, it would have been a few years ago, like my third Shogun Warriors Godzilla, because I was assembling a perfect one. So I was buying them for parts so I could like take like the tongue, because he had like the little handle in the back where you would like push it up and the fire tongue would come out. Like I bought one so I could take it apart and put in a new tongue so I had a better body for this other Godzilla. It's downstairs right now. You see it whenever we play D&D.
I know exactly what you mean.
That is one of my prize toys.
You're talking to me like I don't know what you're talking about.
Love the Shogun Warriors. Oh my God. Dangard and Grandizer and one of them, like
Mazinger.
I don't think Mazinger was in there. They called him something different. Yeah, Mazinger was not in there. I think they called... Oh, I'm sorry. They called him Mazinga on the packaging. But it was Great Mazinger, definitely. And I knew it as a kid. And it's like, oh, man. Loved it, loved it, loved it. All right, our final call. I don't know who this is from. I don't see a name.
It's Christopher.
It's from Omaha. Oh, it's Christopher. Christopher the Baristopher. Mm-hmm. Welcome aboard, Christopher.
My favorite toy line growing up was the gargoyles for the television show. There was one toy called Coldstone that was made of, it was like a Frankenstein. So it was made of other dead gargoyles, like melded together.
Gross.
But he had all the other personalities of the gargoyles. So he would like switch in like episodes. But the toy version had a dial that you could like switch and have like the different personalities when you're like playing with the toy. I just thought that was very awesome.
It's our first vote for Gargoyles. It was a good one.
He was calling from the supply room at Legend Comics and Coffee.
Nice. On the job. I dig it.
Yeah.
Joe Patrick, I already answered with my favorite. What was your favorite toy line and toy?
Well, as is my right as co-founder and co-host of the Two Headed Nerd Comicast, I have two answers. Ugh. Like, my first favorite toy, my number one, like, earliest favorite toy line was Masters of the Universe. I loved that stuff.
I loved it, too.
Some of my earliest toy memories...
What was your favorite He-Man guy?
...were of that line. My favorite He-Man guy, I had many. I had Web Store. I had Clawful. I had the stupid Prince Adam figure.
What was your favorite? Come on.
Listen, don't rush it. We're storytellers.
We don't have time for this. What was your favorite?
We have time. My favorite is, I gravitated towards guys like Trapjaw.
Yeah, he was cool.
Who had interchangeable parts.
Triclops.
Triclops was cool.
He was rad.
Anybody who, like, whose bits and pieces did stuff. Like, Triclops' mask spun, Manny faces, turn faces.
Yeah.
One of my favorites I remember was Buzz Off.
He was great.
Who was a bee guy.
Yeah.
With gigantic plastic wings.
Yeah.
I love that character.
Zodiac. He was my favorite.
Zodak. Cosmic Enforcer.
Pardon me, Zodak. He didn't do crap.
The Metron of the Masters of the Universe.
Just a guy with a mask and a gun. Yeah. I loved him.
but as I grew a little bit older, Masters of the Universe was replaced for all time by G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
Of course.
I loved everything to do with it. I love the comic. I love the show. I even still kind of like the movies. And of course, I loved the toys. And of all the ones I had, though I wasn't spoiled, I didn't have a million of them, my favorite of all of them was Beachhead.
Beachhead was rad.
Who was
he was totally
a
rad.
Marine. Yeah. No, was he a Marine? I forget what he was, like his specialty. But
let me look him up.
He was a guy covered head to toe. He was wearing like a green body stocking on his upper half and then camo on his lower half. And his face was covered like a ninja, but he wasn't a ninja. And the reason I liked Beachhead more than any other He-Man guy is because when you look at a He-Man guy, they all come with the same two things, a gun and a backpack.
Yeah.
Some of them come with a helmet. Some of them come with a sword, whatever. And most of the backpacks are just that, backpacks. And if you're lucky, they have like a slot where you stick the sword in or whatever. If you look at Beachhead's backpack, it is molded plastic.
He's a ranger.
Ranger, yes.
He's a ranger.
And his backpack is covered in stuff.
It was so cool.
Like, it wasn't some lumpy, like, sack. It had a crossbow on it, a grappling hook.
Yeah, he was a badass.
Like, little weird arrows and darts.
He was a ranger in a balaclava for some reason.
And I'd look at that thing and my mind would be blown. Like, think of all the adventures that Beachhead gets into that he's got to carry this thing full of gear. I love it.
He was super cool.
Beachhead. He's okay. My number one guy.
Okay, so my answer, the thing that I loved more than anything was obviously Godzilla from the Shogun Warriors. But if I had to pick like coolest toy in the world, like coolest toy when I was growing up that only like the rich little snots had, G.I. Joe aircraft carrier.
Yeah, the USS flag.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was absolutely amazing. I remember coming over to this little jerk. I'm not going to name any names because he might still be around. It's not John Mitchell. This little jerk that I grew up with. And I came over to his house and he got it for Christmas. And he had the F-16, the Tomcat sitting there on it.
The Sky Striker.
Oh my God. It was so cool.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Like, there were definitely toys that I had, like, I wanted
the toy
from the G.I. Joe line.
The whole room. It was huge.
Like, I really desperately wanted the Terror Drone when I was a kid.
The space station thing was pretty cool, too.
The Defiant, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
And though G.I. Joe is my favorite toy line, my number one favorite toy memory is getting the original Metal Optimus Prime.
Okay.
But I didn't have that many Transformers, so it wasn't my favorite like go-to toy.
I had a bunch of damn Transformers.
But yeah, G.I. Joe, man. Like, we grew up in that time where they were selling directly to us.
Oh, it was kid crack. Like, it was crazy how addictive that crap was.
And I'm sure it's still like that to an extent today, but I feel like it's toned way back. Like, what's Adventure Time trying to sell you, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, G.I. Joe is made to make me want to buy a USS flag.
It was a cartoon designed to sell toys.
Look, like the Cobra base. It's a base for all your guys, but it also has a jet in the middle of it that takes off from the middle of the Terror Drome.
Sure.
And as a kid, you're like, what the f-? I don't want anything else but this.
Fun question, guys. Thank you so much for your answers. These are more calls than we've ever had. I loved it.
I loved it, too.
Call us. Call us. Call us. We love it when you call us. We will, of course, be back for another episode of The Two-Headed Nerd this weekend. That is if we don't blow ourselves to bits on the 4th of July. We hope you all have a safe and happy 4th, you guys. Don't blow any fingers off. We'll see you this weekend. And, of course, Friday, another question of the week goes up.
Yep.
Pay attention. Get your answers into us before Tuesday, 4 o'clock Central Time, and you could be internet famous, just like the jerks we talked to today. We love you all. You're not jerks.
We can make fun of your age, just like we made fun of the gentleman.
And we only do
morning.
It because we're super old.
Yeah. We're insecure about
probably
our...
Probably too old to be doing this.
Shh. Shh. Don't think about it.
Love you guys. We'll talk to you soon.